You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. It is nice to have you back here up north on a Monday morning, October 13th. Parker Olson is producing this shindig down in Madison Studio A2. Dr. Kristen Lyerly standing by in the Green Bay area as well. It is 54 degrees in Fahrenheit. The spot in the state, Sinai, at 45 right now. Warm spot, 61 degrees in Madison, Milwaukee, La Crosse, Manitowoc, Sturgeon Bay, and elsewhere. Again, your local forecast throughout the course of the morning on your favorite Civic Media Radio Network station. Kristen, you did not do your usual biking to Lambeau Field to watch the Packers, and you have the sympathy or the understanding of Jim in Brookfield, who puts on the text line, "Good morning, Pat. As another new member of the knee replacement club, I can completely understand why Dr. Lyerly did not bike to Lambeau Field. I'm an avid bicyclist who is 3.5 weeks out from surgery, and I'm currently having a hard time with a stationary bike at rehab. I'm confident it will only get better from Jim in Brookfield." Yes, it will.
Jim, keep your chin up. It does. Every day is a little bit better. It stinks when you can't be yourself. And it really gives you a great appreciation for people who live with challenges and physical disabilities every day. And they just get up and they do what they do and get through it. And we have to do the same.
And you know, despite the lengthy recovery, I mean, you still feel like this was the right move, that when all the recovery is finished, this will have been the thing that needed to get done.
Well, this is one of those investment in your future kind of things.
Yeah.
Because my knee was so unstable, it was making it hard for me to, like, you know, go up and down steps, and even just to run. I couldn't run a short distance because I just felt like my knee was going to give out. So now I can do more things, or I will be able to once I'm recovered, which is going to make me age better. And ultimately, isn't that what we all want as we get older, to be the best that we can be?
Oh, I would have loved to have aged better. I really should have should have listened to all that advice back in the day. But, well, you know,
you got time to age better still.
I'm doing the best I can.
Pickling helps.
Actually, no, that's the whole point. I'm not doing the best. I can only go up from here, I hope. Anyway, it is 7:09, and all three of us are sitting here wearing Brewers gear of some sort or another, a t-shirt, a jersey, a Hawaiian shirt, all to note that the Milwaukee Brewers defeated the Chicago Cubs in Game 5 of the National League Division Series over the weekend, and have moved on. We will now play for the National League pennant against the LA Dodgers starting tonight at American Family Field. And of course, here on the Civic Media Radio Network as well, coverage begins at 6:30 for a first pitch at 7:08. Head to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, to learn more. I had some friends ask about, you know, coming out over the weekend, and it was like, no, because if the Brewers win, then there's going to be night games Monday and Tuesday, and I gotta keep a little reserve in the tank, you know, because again, the next couple of mornings are going to be, you know, one of those exciting but exhausted type of things.
It's the afternoons that really matter now, Pat, because that is nap time now.
Don't you love how, is he not the youngest person we've ever known who has so thoroughly embraced nap time in the afternoons?
I don't know. I think that's a Gen Z thing.
I think it kind of is a little bit. Yeah.
Gen
Z. Are you calling
Z,
them lazy or?
No. I think Gen Z is like, you know what? I know you guys did it this way, but it's not actually working. So we're going to do it this way because it actually works. I have a lot of faith in Gen Z.
You know, it's funny that you say that because look, when you were coming up through residency, I know that every so often I would calculate it for Sherry, and sometimes she would be working at the hospital 100 hours a week, and I'm sure you weren't far off of that. And then you started to notice this trend where, you know, they they decided not to try to kill the residents as they went through the program. Well, you know, the younger docs now, as they've talked about call schedules, I mean, again, for Sherry's generation, it was just assumed you would work a 24-hour shift, you know, like 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or in residency, it was always, yeah, a lot more than that. And there had been this move about changing some call schedules and things. And one of the younger docs was like, put their foot down and said, absolutely not. There is no need to do 24s when we can do 12s. And so one was doing 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. and one was doing 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And for Sherry, who was like, it makes so much sense, but my generation wouldn't have dreamed of speaking up because you just did it because that's the way things were done. The younger folks are like, why? Why are we doing it? Why are we killing ourselves? We can do 12s instead of 24s. We're like, that's brilliant. Why didn't we think of that?
Because that's right. That's the thing about Gen Z. They're just like, no, I don't think so. That's the way you've always been doing it. Why? And, you know, it makes us question, like, why have we? Those work hour restrictions were game changers. But you have to balance also when you were there longer, you got to see more stuff. But after, there are studies that show that if you've been working 16 hours straight, after hour 16, your mental capacity starts to diminish. We're humans. And even when you're young, that is, you're just not taking the best care of patients after 16 hours. So actually, it's better for everybody. It's better for the people who work. It's better for patients who receive care. It's better for families who are, you know, trying to navigate that. It's better. It's just a giant change in the system and how the medical training system has to work. And it's been a very challenging change.
It's all about allocation of resources, which takes us to the federal government shutdown.
Oh boy.
And when I asked, what do we want to kick around on Monday? And you said, can we mention that as part of the government shutdown, the president of the United States decided to lay off 1,000 people or so at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention because nothing screams competent government like laying off the people who respond to Ebola and Mpox and measles outbreaks in the U.S. and things like that. I mean, there's been a lot of, and again, here comes that S word again, and I'm sorry, people don't like this, but it's stupid. And there have been some stupid layoffs and stupid moves, but laying off the people who respond to Ebola outbreaks and things like that is right up there on the list of stupid.
Ebola is not in this country because we keep an eye on it. And these are the people who have gotten laid off. And not to mention all of the respiratory diseases. We are entering respiratory disease season. So if you haven't gotten your flu shot, your COVID shot, your RSV shot, talk with your doctor about which one of these things are, if or not all of them, if not all of them. This is the time to protect yourself. But these are the folks that were laid off, and they weren't laid off strategically. They were laid off haphazardly. J.D. Vance himself admitted that it's chaotic. And he said, this chaos has to happen. But I fundamentally disagree. You can't lay off all of these leaders, including the entire staff of the CDC in Washington, D.C. That's the conduit to Congress from the diaspora of CDC people who are all over the world keeping an eye on all of these infectious diseases. What are we going to do when Congress doesn't know what's brewing? And what are we going to do as practicing doctors in the wilderness all across the country trying to make decisions for our patients without information?
It just, we hear that, some of them were immediately, you know, rescinded and the layoff notices and they were hired back. But A, we don't know that. We can't really trust you because there have been so many people who have heard that they were fired, then not fired. And then, you actually are fired. And then you're not fired.
Well, and this happened Friday at 9 o'clock on Friday night of a holiday weekend.
Yeah.
So we don't actually know who's there, who they took it back. But we just don't know.
It was all about, you know, looking tough, like, if you guys won't do what we want for the government shutdown, we're going to fire all these people. You did not have to fire all these people. That was not an inevitable function of a government shutdown. It means a lot of people work without pay and get paid later. But to take it to the step of actually firing people is, you know, wildly unnecessary. And I mean, that's just for starters of the things they've done that are so over and above what would be necessary in a government shutdown. And we mentioned that in the Sunday morning newsletter as well, that you've got all of these, you know, healthcare cuts. You've got all of the plain politics with spending cuts. We've talked about that. Now they're putting partisan propaganda on government websites. And even the airport video at TSA, which used to be a very common sense video of what could be in your bag and what couldn't be in your bag. And then when it when the administration changed in January, it was Kristi Noem, and it was just her. Just her talking like, I'm Kristi Noem from TSA and we're doing all these great things for you. It was not informative whatsoever. It was totally a vanity project. And now it's a new video with Kristi Noem going, because of Democrats shutting down the government, blah, blah, blah. I mean, again, just political propaganda playing in the airports. And somebody let it be known that these videos are not required to be played by the airports. And so Portland, Oregon was the first airport to go, yeah, we're not playing those.
I love Portland. All the pictures of the people in the blow-up costumes in the streets. That is just the best.
Oh, yeah. And Saturday Night Live Tina Fey was on playing the role of Kristi Noem, Amy Poehler as Pam Bondi. And it was nice to see. Every so often Saturday Night Live gets its political mojo back and definitely had it in pointing out, I mean, yes, the ridiculousness, but the cruelty in a ridiculous way about the way that this shutdown is being handled and how it affects very real people and not just doctors and their patients. We've talked about in farming and in the business world, they're not seeing the data that government normally collects for all of us and enables us to make smart decisions about investments or planting or anything like that. And all of these functions are just gone right now. And again, only so that they, Trump and the Republicans, can protect the massive cuts that they made to healthcare. Thankfully, Kristen, poll after poll after poll is showing folks aren't buying this. They understand what's really at stake here.
Yeah, which means that when we're not buying it, we have to tell our representatives that we're not buying it. We have to let them know that this is not working for us. We are in an information deficit, as Pat said, in every field, whether it's agriculture or medicine or business. We don't have the data that we are used to make these important decisions. And I want to bring it back to the CDC and the firing of Dr. Susan Meniarz. She's a Trump supporter. She's a loyalist. And when she was told that she would have to fire people just because she was told to fire people, and she would have to rubber stamp medical decisions without weighing in on them, without using her professional capacity to determine whether they were correct or not, that was really where the levee broke for her, a Trump supporter. So if this is happening even in Republican camps, even in MAGA world, how extreme are these people? How reckless? And where does it stop? Is there any place where they are actually thinking this could be harmful to the American public? We need to have some sort of a conscience here. It doesn't appear that there is.
No, I mean, it really does look like you could not have asked for more if you were, say, I don't know, Vladimir Putin, and said, how can I undermine the United States of America? Oh, if only we had a president of the United States who would do the undermining of America for me. Mm-hmm. And it's happening on so many different fronts right now. And I heard somebody talk about this morning about, you know, the approaching 250th birthday of the country next year. And I'm just like, oh, I don't know that people have appreciated what either we have lost or what we are in danger of losing that has made America what it was for 250 years. And when you're laying off the people responding to Ebola outbreaks, that might be a hint of what we're facing right now and need to stand up against. Still ahead this morning, we're going to be talking to State Representative Jody Emerson about her new package of bills to support higher education in Wisconsin. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
On our website, upnorthnewswi.com, you can find the written versions of the longer versions of things that we post up on social media. We put a lot up on Facebook, certainly on Instagram as well, a little bit on TikTok. And then sometimes we write the accompanying stories and put those on the website. And on the website right now is my latest updated story on the governor's race. Each one started with the same graphic, a graphic of 12 different people who have been or might run for governor. Are they in? Are they out? Is there a question mark next to their name? And everybody on that photo has something new next to their name, that they're in or they're out, except one, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. Waiting to see what he does, what he decides on. Remember, we talked to Earl Ingram 1 week ago today, and he said that he had talked to Mandela Barnes and that, you know, we should not be surprised if he gets in the race. And we'll ask Earl coming up after 8 o'clock if he's got any new insight on that. But the story, the newest story on the website also says, you know, what about the significance of Josh Call not running for governor? What does that mean for Wisconsin? And beyond the governor's race, it really has something to do with providing some security when it comes to standing up to the Trump administration. For all the details on that, see my article over on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. All right. This is a case where somebody has put something in the comment section, and I feel like this is a good time to address this. And it deals with the Affordable Care Act and the whole note about the government shutdown. And I have made note that Republicans want to make healthcare less affordable, because that is the net result of what they are doing. When you are letting the enhanced tax credits expire that made the Affordable Care Act policies more affordable, when you're making the cuts that you're making to Medicaid, when you're putting more eligibility red tape in the way, you are making healthcare less affordable. And why would you do that? Well, probably because you're doing the bidding of some big campaign donors, people who work in corporate America, for-profit health insurance companies, and things like that. So we hear a lot about the marketplace and the magic of competition. It doesn't work that way in healthcare. And I'll tell you why. Right after I share this comment that says, your premise that Republicans want to make healthcare less affordable is totally wrong. As a small business owner with just under 100 employees, we have seen firsthand the effects Obamacare has had on health insurance. We used to be able to pay 100% of our employees' insurance. Once Obamacare kicked in, premiums have continued to rise to the point where we are only able to pay 50% of the cost. This started immediately after the legislation was passed. Not only have premiums skyrocketed, but coverage, mainly deductibles, and total out-of-pocket has increased substantially. It is now catastrophic insurance, due away with Obamacare. Now, I appreciate that that comment came in. That comment is well taken. It is a comment that I have heard many times over the years. And it is a comment that, in my point of view, has amnesia over what the world was like before the Affordable Care Act. And I don't know if this amnesia is tainted to some degree by partisan politics or what, but we knew for many years before the Affordable Care Act that our health insurance system in this country was broken, and that the policies that were available, that the commenter says were so much more affordable back then, why were they affordable? They were junk. And most people didn't know that. The people that did not have to make a claim under their health insurance understandably say, wait, I paid so much less back then. Why am I paying more now? Because the policies you have now, thanks to the Affordable Care Act, actually cover some of the things that you need. Prior to that, all we heard from for-profit insurance companies, and I know this as the spouse of a physician, but also as a patient myself, was no. Nope, we're not covering this, we're not covering that. I know you paid your premiums all those years, but it turns out that we can tell you no, and we are going to tell you no. Now, 2 years before the Affordable Care Act, there was a poll by the Commonwealth Fund, and it found, not surprisingly, 82% of Americans wanted the healthcare system overhauled. They were sick of the inefficiency, the expense, and again, always being rejected after years of paying their healthcare premiums. Before the Affordable Care Act, we had 50 million Americans or more who were uninsured. That number has shrunk to such a low figure that we did not think was possible prior to the Affordable Care Act passing in 2010. We had an economy that was overburdened by healthcare expenses. There was so much out-of-pocket cost. There were so many people hitting, you know, these lifetime caps, even though they had chronic illnesses. But suddenly their insurance that, again, they had paid for was useless. Healthcare was gobbling up 18% of our gross domestic product. 18%. Compare that to 9% in Australia, 11% in Canada, 11% in Germany, 9% in the UK. And all of them had done something to overhaul their healthcare system that made healthcare more accessible and more affordable. And last but not least, all of the Americans who were caught in job lock. They were holding on to crappy jobs. The only reason they stuck to these miserable jobs was it was the only way they could get health insurance. And through the Affordable Care Act and those subsidies that make private health insurance more affordable, which is what conservatives always say they wanted, by making private insurance for the individual, for the couple, for the family more affordable, people didn't have to stay in their garbage jobs. They could go do something else that was more fulfilling with better coverage. So yeah, the premiums have gone up because you're getting what you paid for. You're getting coverage that covers more of the things. Should it be fixed? Could it be made better? Absolutely. For over a decade now, we've been saying to Republicans, help us make it stronger. Help us make it better. Help us cover more people. And the answer has been no, repeal and replace. But by the way, we don't have a replacement. We just want it repealed, which only helps one group, the group that keeps telling you no while they're taking your premium money. State Senator Chris Larson is coming up next.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Nice to have you back here up north at 7:06 on a Thursday morning, October 16th. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Coming up in our next half hour, we're going to be talking to Cindy Greening, who is one of the organizers of the many No Kings protests that'll be taking place around Wisconsin in nearly 100 locations on Saturday. And then there will be millions of people around the country who are protesting as well, the things that the Trump administration has been doing for the past 9 months here. Rob from Tigerton says, good morning from Tigerton, cloudy and 46 degrees with a beautiful sunrise. I'm gonna have to take your word for it, Rob, because you're a little farther to the east than we are. So I haven't seen that sunrise yet, but it should be, and forward to it. We also look forward to conversation with all kinds of folks, including candidates who are gonna be part of next year's race. And now, we try to let them know that this is a place where they can come in anytime, say hello, let us know what kind of things they're up to on their many campaigns. There are several candidates, for example, for governor, and it's always nice when one of them is able to drop in and give us an update on their race. And that is the case right now with State Senator Kelda Royce from Madison, who is running for governor and is in the was in the Chippewa Valley overnight and joins us from Eau Claire this morning. Kelda, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. It's great to be with you.
It's good to see you as well. I know you've had a long, busy day of travel. Yeah, no doubt meeting a lot of folks. And of course, having to find time to make those phone calls as well that every candidate has to do. Talk about some of your recent travels.
Yeah, well, it's been great. Yesterday, we were in Jackson County, talked to about two dozen very, very enthusiastic Democrats. And then we went to the people's protest in Eau Claire, and they've been continuously protesting for every week since Trump was inaugurated. That was really inspiring to see the community support. I was able to stop into the Eau Claire Leader Telegram and have an interview with Marshall Bauman there. And today I'll be at the Coffee Kledge in Eau Claire, and then later on to Chippewa Falls, meeting with some union folks, and finishing the night at Rusk County's Pizza and Politics. So it's a great, fun itinerary. And you can hear I'm a little hoarse because all I do is talk on the phone while we're in the car.
Absolutely, you do. This is very reminiscent for me of 2018 when I was helping out my friend Dana Walks when he was running for governor. You are just on the road constantly. You are all the time talking to people and making new friends, finding new donors, telling people about your positions, and especially in a multiple candidate field, what it is about you, you know, that stands out. And so as far as the trip that you've been making right now, again, you're used to people knowing you around Madison. You do have some statewide name ID, but there's always new people to meet out there. So tell folks that you're going to meet some people for the first time today at the Eau Claire Democratic Party Coffee Clutch, something they do every week. It's a great little informal conversation. I've been there a few times myself. So you want to give us your kind of your opening remarks to the people in that room that aren't familiar with you?
Sure. I'm Kel DeRoyce. I'm a Democratic candidate for governor, and I've been serving in the state Senate since 2020. I previously served two terms in the assembly, but more importantly, I'm a small business owner, mom and stepmom of five. I'm an attorney by training, and I've been on the front lines in every progressive fight for about 25 years. So whatever our legislative situation is in 2027, we're going to need a governor who's capable of getting things done. And I have spent my professional life doing that in all kinds of tough situations. I'm really passionate about public education, about economic opportunity, raising wages and lowering costs for things like housing and childcare, and making sure that every Wisconsinite has healthcare. And these are gonna be big, big fights that we're gonna be up against in the next couple of years. We also need a governor who's gonna stand up to Trump and be unequivocal and honest about what he is doing to our country and our freedoms.
We're talking to State Senator Kel DeRoyce, Democratic candidate for governor, who's visiting through the Chippewa Valley right now. And let's talk about the field in the race and how things were changed last week with the decision by Attorney General Josh Call not to join the race for governor, but instead to run for a third term as state attorney general. Now, there are impacts there, not only on the governor's race, on you and everybody else who'd already announced, but frankly, what it means for the state that Josh Call has decided to run for a third term and you know, perhaps serve as attorney general for another 4 years. What in your mind overall is the big impact of Josh Call deciding what he decided?
Well, the biggest impact is that Josh Call, who has been a great attorney general for us, and especially in this really dangerous Trump era, is going to be able to continue doing that. I think he understands more than anyone what is at stake and why we need a Democratic attorney general. And at the end of the day, he is excellent at his job, and he did not want to leave Wisconsin in a position where we'd be struggling to elect a new governor and a new attorney general at the same time, just because it is so essential that we have a Democratic governor to protect us from the harms of the Republican regime in Washington.
This is also why political predictions are dangerous and why we appreciate people listening to this show, but don't ever wager money based on the things that I say, because I would not have been surprised if Josh Call had gotten into the governor's race. And what I told people when we'd have these conversations, my response was once, and then Kel DeRoyce is going to be a slam dunk attorney general, you know, for the state. But again, it all depends on what, you know, people make their decisions the way that they do. And so now with you running for governor, I mean, there's still one or two question marks out there, people looking at whether former Lieutenant Governor, you know, Mandela Barnes will be getting into the race. You know, you get the rumors about everybody, about Ron Kind and everybody else. But from a broad standpoint, looking at this field, I notice a lot of similarities to 2018. Lots of candidates. And, you know, frankly, as much as you want to stand out, but talking about the field, there's not a bad choice in the bunch. This is a nice problem for voters to have, to get to know you and everybody else in the race.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, and a lot of these folks are friends of mine. They're people that I've worked with in recent years, folks I've mentored. And so that's a great choice. I mean, there definitely are some issue areas where there's differences between the candidates, among the candidates, and we'll certainly, I'm sure, be talking about those as the race continues. But yes, I mean, we do want to have robust primaries because I think it helps make our candidates stronger. I will say I'm the only candidate in the race that's been through a primary before. And so to have had the opportunity as I have to travel throughout the state of Wisconsin, not just in 2018, but over the last 5 years in the state Senate, and even beyond that, when I was the head of NARAL Pro-Choice Wisconsin. I've always made it a priority to get out of Madison, get out of Milwaukee, and really connect with people around the state. I think that's really, really important for our next governor. And it's certainly going to be important for voters all around the state who are going to be participating in this primary.
You know, there is one candidate who's running ads already that we can hear on our radio network, and we're not going to get into the particulars of every candidate, but when candidate Ryan Sternad is running commercials saying, you know, basically running as the blue collar candidate, he's a beer vendor, you know, at American Family Field, and has, you know, the dirt under the fingernails aspect to it. It always kind of hits me, because as somebody who has served in elected office and has covered, you know, elected officials for all these years, you know, it's not work to have to do what you and other people do. The work of representation, the work of legislating is, you know, very much a real job that requires real experience to do.
Yeah, I think that is one thing I've learned in, you know, I've run a successful small business for 13 years that I founded. I'm an attorney by training. I ran a statewide nonprofit focused on reproductive rights for 4 years, but I do think that the most difficult things that I have learned over 25 years are how to get things done with people whom you don't agree with all the time. And in Wisconsin, we are a purple state, and everyone has good ideas. Everyone has something to offer. Not every idea is good, but what I have learned is that if you are willing and capable of digging into the details, building relationships, and listening to people, you actually can get a lot done, even in situations that might seem politically very difficult. You know, I've had some of my biggest political victories on passing bills and policies in Republican legislatures. And I think people would be surprised. They'd say, oh, Kel DeRoyce, she's from Madison. She's, you know, she's a Democrat. She's liberal. She's an abortion rights supporter. And they would be surprised to learn that I helped pass the first pro-choice law in 30 years through an anti-choice Republican assembly before I was even ever elected to anything. And you do, you learn, you kind of get bruises and scars from these battles, and you learn and you become better and you mature. And I think, you know, my hope is that I'm always going to continue learning and becoming better. But I feel like, yes, it is, there are fundamental skill sets that you learn over time doing this work. And those are going to be really important as we think about who's going to lead the state in the coming years.
Senator Kel DeRoyce, candidate for governor, is our guest. Now, contrast what you just said about your experience and having to work across the aisle to potentially get things done. Contrast that with one potential opponent, and that would be Congressman Tom Tiffany on the Republican side and running for governor. And where, again, he'll say, well, I was in the state Senate and now I've served in Congress. But where do you think the differences end when it comes to your level of experience versus his?
Well, I don't think Tom Tiffany has a lot of bipartisan accomplishments under his belt. In fact, I wonder, you know, whether he's even holding regular town halls in his district. I think one thing that's been really disappointing about Tom Tiffany is that he's willing to just do whatever Trump wants, whether it's good for Wisconsin or not. And I think that's hard, because we deserve here in Wisconsin leaders of any party who will think for themselves, who will be their own men and women, and not be beholden to what some party boss or special interest or corporate overlord tells them. And I think if you look at Tom Tiffany's voting record, that's the most disappointing thing about it. Whatever Trump wants, he's the rubber stamp. He's the yes man. He, you know, of course, he's voted for some heinous things. He's voted for a complete abortion ban at 6 weeks before most people even know they're pregnant. That's the kind of ban that are killing women in states that have implemented them since the Dobbs decision. He's voted to throw hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites off their health insurance and cause our premiums to skyrocket. That's not the kind of leadership Wisconsinites want.
No, and I also noticed he tried to have it both ways on abortion when he got into the race and was asked about it, and said, well, I support state law as it is right now.
Oh, yeah, right. Give me a break. This is a guy that spent his whole career grandstanding on this issue, and now, like so many other Republicans, wants to run away from it now that it's unpopular. But, you know, I think about his approach to lawmaking versus what I've spent the last few years doing, where I've worked closely with Republican colleagues in the legislature to try to expand access to nurse practitioners. We've got a huge healthcare workforce and healthcare provider shortage across the state. And for many years, I was the only Democrat on that bill. Actually, my own Democratic governor had vetoed it several times, but we compromised, we made changes, we worked with stakeholders, including physicians and nurses, and finally we were able to get that bill done. And that's going to have a positive impact in terms of people's ability to get healthcare, especially in rural areas of the state. That's the work of being governor. That's leadership.
Our guest is Senator Kelda Royce from Madison, candidate for governor, reporting in from the Chippewa Valley, where she's been touring throughout the state and is on her way to Rusk County later on today to continue her campaign, getting to meet people. She'll be at the Eau Claire Democratic Party Coffee Clutch at their headquarters a little bit later on this morning. Still ahead, we'll be talking to Cindy Greening, who's organizing some of the No Kings protest rallies that'll be held in nearly 100 places around Wisconsin coming up on Saturday. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thank you for making this a place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Here's what's coming up this morning here on the program. State Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire will be along to talk about a new package of bills supporting higher education in Wisconsin, which to many of us sounds like a no-brainer, but is not for certain parts of our legislature. And so she's going to unveil what she's got proposed and the difference between what others in the legislature would be doing for colleges and universities in the state of Wisconsin. We'll talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She'll join us, I should say, for today's history lesson coming up in just a little over 10 minutes. And then after 7 o'clock, we will talk about the government shutdown and how President Trump made his latest move related to the shutdown, firing like 1,000 people at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, because nothing says running a government capably than letting go the people who respond to Ebola and measles outbreaks and other things. So Dr. Lyerly will have some thoughts on that. We'll talk to a Civic Media sports director, Jimmy Cuska, of course, about the Brewers and the Packers. We'll be joined by our Civic Media friends, John and Gordy from Madison, Jane Matinere, whose program follows ours at 9 o'clock across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you're saying, Pat, please stop, that is too much, I cannot handle all of that, I can't stick around, then pod the program. Get over to Spotify or Apple, follow the show there, and listen on demand. You can even, I don't know why you'd want to do this, but you could fast forward. You could listen at, you know, 1.5 or double speed to get through it quicker. But that's one way to do it, is get over to Spotify and follow us that way. Or watch us later on Facebook or YouTube, and that will stop as you like. But those are some of the things we're coming up for you yet this morning. Yesterday came our Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow Sunday newsletter from the folks at Up North News and Courier Newsroom, and it includes our question of the week. Our question of the week this week deals with mining, metallic mining for things like, you know, gold, copper, zinc, and other, you know, other elements that we know are up there. We've always known they're up there to some degree. The question is whether it's worth the price to dig the mines. I mean, even the test drilling that was recently done up north had some issues, like sediment that washed away into a wetland and a borehole that was left open, which could allow for cross-contamination of aquifers. But there are others who say, you know, once they start mining, they're going to do it responsibly. So do you agree? I ask in the newsletter, where are you on mining? Is it, you know, no? No way, not ever, don't need it, not worth it. Is it, I'm open to the idea as long as there are really good regulations and protections? Or option C was drill, baby, drill, that the mining companies can police themselves. So what do you think of that? And you can send us a response by responding to the newsletter. Sign up for the newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Tony asks on YouTube, Dr. Lyerly talked to Chris Matthews. Yes, the former Hardball host. I saw that she'd posted a video being interviewed by Chris Matthews for his program. Tony also asks about the if you listen by podcast instead of speeding it up, can I slow it down to enjoy it for 4 hours? Yes, Tony, you can. But I don't know why anybody would want to do that. So again, thank you. And you can put your own comments in there as well in the comment sections of YouTube and Facebook. That would be the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages, or the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages. On the subject of, you know, regulations for things like mining and other environmental regulations, I haven't given this talk for a while, but I'm going to give it again because there's a package of bills put forth by Republicans in the legislature that went through the next step in the committee process. On its road to nowhere, this package of bills is going to be vetoed by Governor Tony Evers if it ever gets to his desk, but Republicans are always looking to make some kind of a statement by working on these things that are going nowhere anyway. And this new package of bills is all about attacking those pesky government regulations. We hear about regulations all the time. The headline for this Wisconsin Public Radio article, lawmakers debate GOP bills designed to cut back on state regulations and deregulation and overregulation. So here's the talk I haven't given for a while. When you hear regulations, when you hear deregulations, anything about regulations, take out the word regulations, put in the word protections. Because by and large, that's what those are. They're protecting something. They're either protecting the environment, or they're protecting you as a consumer, or they're protecting you as an employee. Now, I'm not here to say that every regulation is perfect and that every regulation has to stay on the books. The trick to being a lawmaker, as I discovered firsthand, is basically eternal vigilance. Always being aware that some regulation isn't living up to what its authors promised. It needs to be modified, or it needs to be removed. It needs adjustments. But to erase regulations for the sake of erasing regulations is really just attacking protections. In other words, you're doing the bidding of some business or some group that wants to remove those protections so that they can, for example, drill as much as they want and not have to worry about those pesky regulations about groundwater contamination or the regulations on things like, you know, child labor, because there are people that want to address the labor shortage in this country, not by fixing immigration, but by letting more 14-year-olds and 13-year-olds and 12-year-olds do job duties that we passed child labor laws a century ago to deal with so that our kids would not be facing those kinds of troubles. But people say, oh, it's those pesky regulations. And so these bills are making their way through the committee process right now, again, to make that statement. And while they won't go anywhere, it is an ongoing GOP talking point that says Wisconsin is one of the most heavily regulated states in the country. Thank goodness. I like living in a state that puts a priority on protecting children from exploitation and protecting employees and protecting the environment. It's what makes Wisconsin such a great state to live in. And what say we not go backwards? We have got today's history lesson. Dr. Lyerly will be joining us in just a bit, starting with the singer and keyboardist for the group Chicago. On the way, I'm Pat Kreitlow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.